In November, Senate Higher Education Committee Chair Toby Stavisky wrapped up a series of hearings surveying the state of New York's colleges and universities since the arrival of COVID-19 and to understand the consequences of the pandemic on institutions of higher learning, their faculty, and their students. And the Queens Democrat joins us now to discuss what she learned and how it should be used to shape state policy moving forward. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I want to focus our conversation on the state's public colleges and universities, both in New York City and around the state. And I want to begin with remote learning, which was deployed back in the spring of 2020 and subsequently became part of a hybrid learning process as kids became safe to go on campus. What's your sense of how these approaches have affected the quality of the higher education in New York? And do you think remote learning will remain a part of the picture moving forward?
Well, answering your last question first, I suspect it might, but I personally am a big fan of in-person learning because the students get so much, not just from the professor, but also from their other students, from their peers. I suspect there will be a continuation of some hybrid model, but everybody at the who testified at the hearing, from Chancellor Malatras to Chancellor Matos Rodriguez of CUNY, mm-hmm. they all have done, I think, a remarkable job in the testing procedures, the protocols requiring students to be vaccinated, the testing and so forth. And they preferred the in-person learning, too. We had four hearings, Stony Brook, which obviously was on SUNY, York College, which involved City University of New York, we had one at 250 Broadway for CUNY, and the last one was the Monday before Thanksgiving, and it dealt with SUNY with the chancellor.
If remote learning, either in a hybrid capacity or in another capacity, is part of the SUNY landscape moving forward, do you think that the cost that students pay should change based on the type of education they're getting? Because right now it's, you know, the one tuition, but if, say, students are getting more of their classes in a, say, hybrid model, do you think that should be reflected in the tuition they're paying?
That's a very difficult question to answer because the colleges have certain fixed costs, heating the buildings, providing a support staff. The issue of reducing tuition, I think, is one that the trustees really have to, and the legislature should take a look at. The problem is that we have relied in the past too much on student tuition fees. For the first time in 20 years, we raised the TAP award, the Tuition Assistance Program, which provides funding for students based upon a needs basis. And the costs are increasing, and the fees are increasing, and I think that's a mistake. Too much, as I said, has been borne by the students, and we did increase TAP. TAP is now up to $5,665, and Pell provides, the federal program provides additional funding also. But the tuition averages over $7,000 a year at the four-year SUNY colleges. It's a little bit less, a couple hundred dollars less at the City University of New York. But we, for the first time, did not raise tuition. And I think that is extremely important. So I think we've got to look in terms of reducing the tuition charges. And where we can do it, I think, is the trustees, I know, are taking a look at this, and the legislature will too.
Did you get a sense of what the effect was of freezing tuition in the most recent budget for the SUNY system? Did they have did they have enough funding without that tuition increase?
No, they were not. The administrators were not happy at all. Not at all. I heard from them. But we're trying to change the direction in terms of state-operated facilities. We've got to assume more of the cost. We pledged to close the TAP gap, which is the difference between what colleges charge in tuition and what the TAP award is in a four-year period, and that was as of April of this year. We've got to rely more on state support than on student tuition and fees. Fees are To me, and I've spoken to the SUNY chancellor about this, and he's in agreement, fees are the wrong way to go. It's not based on, everybody pays the same fee, and it's over $3,000 at Albany, for example. It's very, very difficult for students to live and go to school with these amounts. For example, in Albany, room and board is generally in the $14,000 range. The fees are another several thousand. So we're talking major investments. And that was what the hearing was all about. It was investing in the future of this public higher education in New York.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Senate Higher Education Committee Chair Toby Stavisky, who recently concluded a series of hearings to examine the effect of the pandemic on the colleges and universities in New York. What did you learn, if anything, about the student enrollment over the last nearly 2 years and how that's been impacted by the pandemic? And were there any trends, either for good or bad, that you heard about, whether it's at the CUNY system, the SUNY system, the four-year schools, or the two-year schools?
Yes. Obviously, the community colleges were hardest hit. I was absolutely taken aback at Chancellor Milatris's testimony at the Albany hearing, where he had a chart that showed a 35% decline in community college enrollment over the last 10 years. In the past, the chancellors have either sidestepped the question or given incomplete information. And at the state university, half of the students are enrolled in the community colleges. So this is a dramatic change that we were not aware of. Obviously, it's a national trend. And I asked the chancellor at the hearing, what did he think was the reason for this dramatic slide in enrollment? And he said it was the increase in tuition. In the past, it's been a $200 increase every year, what they called the rational tuition policy. And I often refer to it as the irrational tuition policy, because it drove students away from the community colleges, which to me is the future of SUNY and CUNY. And I asked him, what did he see as a remedy for the decline in enrollment? And his answer was very revealing. He talked about rethinking the role of the colleges in society. And we have to break our, I think he used the phrase, traditional modes. And I couldn't agree more. He talked about going into the communities to see how they can attract students to programs and so forth. The City University of New York faces an even bigger challenge in bringing students back to the community colleges. The students who are missing, I am convinced that the high schools never really found all of the students with remote learning. Some just came off the grid. Who knows what happened to them? Those are the students we should be attracting to with the community colleges in the future.
Well, given the trends in enrollment, do you think there's any merit to exploring whether some college campuses, particularly in the SUNY system, should be closed, either because there's just maybe not the demand or because the cost savings could be invested elsewhere in the system?
That has been suggested and rejected. I think each community college, and there may be ways that they can consolidate some of their purchasing practices. They can form consortiums, particularly in the North Country, where we have talked about having different tuition. We call it a differential tuition. I remember attending a hearing in Fredonia, which is about an hour south of Buffalo. And the president of the college at the time said to me, we're losing students to Ohio, not even Pennsylvania, but Ohio. And students at Plattsburgh, who would be going to Plattsburgh in the North Country, they're going to Vermont. And we've got to look at how we can bring these students back. And I think the community colleges is the way to do it, because they are often the largest employer in the county, and they offer training possibilities, new jobs. I think the tie-in between higher education and the economy is important.
And finally, shortly before we began talking, your counterpart in the Assembly, the Higher Education Committee Chair, Deborah Glick, put out a statement saying that it's time for Chancellor Mellotris to either resign or be removed by the SUNY Board of Trustees in light of what's come to light about some of his personal correspondence regarding Lindsay Boylan, as well as his role in some other behind-the-scenes issues with the Cuomo administration. Do you have confidence in him to lead the SUNY system right now, or do you think he should step aside or be removed?
There have been a lot of people with different opinions on what should happen with Chancellor Mellotris. The students, the governor, the faculty unions, to a whole group of folks. And I truly respect everyone's right to speak out. But at the end of the day, this decision is going to be made by the trustees. And they have issued a statement in support of the chancellor. As chairwoman of the Higher Education Committee, I'm not looking to influence the trustees one way or another. They were chosen, and they should be running the university. My job is to ensure that proper resources are delivered to SUNY and to CUNY, for that matter, and to ensure that students have an accessible, affordable, and quality education. And that really was the thrust of my hearings, the four hearings, and that will continue. What the chancellor did was wrong in his participation in that culture. But he issued a very strong apology, and I think this is up to the trustees to make the decision. They selected him, and it's up to them to decide his future.
Well, we've been speaking with State Senator Toby Savisky. She's the chair of the Chamber's Higher Education Committee. Senator, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.